This shiur on the weekly parasha, Parashas Ki Teitzei, is dedicated to the Refuah Shleima of Chaim Yisrochor ben Chaim Moshkat, our dear friend Chaim Feigenbaum. The topic we will be discussing today is a very relevant one, and it is Nogea Halacha Lamaisa in a very steady basis. And that is a pasuk which deals with the prohibition of ribis. Hilchos ribis are some of the more complicated halachas that we have in the entirety of Dalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch. The topic we will be discussing today is one specific topic, one sugi in Hilchos ribis, which is not one of the more complicated sugis. Loi tashach l'reyacho neshach kesef neshach oichol neshach kol dova ashe yishach. In Bava Metzia Ayin Heyumet Beis, we learn from this pasuk, Neshech kol dovor, afilu dibur, and afilu ribis dvorim is prohibited. It is not only money that we cannot give as ribis. Even words, kind words could be considered ribis. And yes, the example Chazal give in that basic sugya, Bava Metziayin Hayomid Beis is, Im lo haya ragil hagdim lo shalom, Asulo lehagdim lo shalom. He gave him neither money nor any other monetary or physical benefit. Words, kind words, lehagdim lo shalom, levarech oto leshalom. If he wasn't accustomed to do so before the loan, he cannot do so after the loan, and that is considered the ribis form. This halacha is brought in the Rambam Perikev Hilchos Malveh Veloiveh, as well as in Shulchan Aruch, Rambam Perikei Malva Veleva Yuchad Lok Yud Beis, Yeredaya Simen Kuf Samach Sif Yud Aleph. There is a major discussion between the Rishonim and Achayinim whether we are dealing with an Issa D'Urais or an Issa D'Rabbanon. Chochmas Odom Klal Kuf Lamed Aleph in the first Sif maintains that we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanon. Ribis D'Urais is only one given monetary benefit. Ribis Dvorim is not an Issa D'Uraisa, and the Drosha is only an Asmachta, Remez Ba'alma, but this is not a biblical prohibition. However, Tshuva Sarivash, Sof Siman Kuf Mem Zayin Mashma, that we're dealing with a Drosha Gemura and an Issa D'Uraisa. And this Machloikis obviously goes back to the Rishonim. Sefer HaTumis makes it very clear that it's an Issa D'Rabbanon, and that seems to be the opinion of the Ran in Ksuvas Daf Memvov Tet Zayin Omid Beis in the Dafim of the Rif. The Ran is Mechadish that even though there is no Ribis D'Uraisa Bepochas Meshova Pruta, less than a Shova Pruta is not considered money regarding the entirety of monetary prohibitions Gneva, Gzela, Una'a, Huhadin, Ribit. So there is no Issa D'Uraisa, Ribis Pochas Meshuvah Pruta, but the Ran argues that there definitely is an Issa D'Rabbanan, Loigora Meribis Dvorim. If Ribis Dvorim is Osur, even though there is no money involved, then Pochas Meshuvah Pruta shouldn't be different than Ribis Dvorim. So from this argument of the Ran, it is very clear that Ribis Dvorim is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, because if Ribis Dvorim would be an Issa D'Uraisa, so should Pochas Meshuvah Pruta be an Issa D'Uraisa. And the Ram makes it very clear, Pochas Meshuvah Pruta Zenisa D'Rabbanan, Mishum D'Leigora Meribis Dvorim. So our conclusion is that, according to the Ram, we're dealing with an Isra D'Rabbanan. Tosis in Kedushin Daf Chesomit Beis. Beyond doubt, Tosis is in the opinion that Ribis Dvorim is an Isra D'Uraisa. So obviously, this is a machlokes between the Shreinim and Achreinim, whether Ribis Dvorim is a Darabonim or a D'Uraisa. And the Nafkamina is regarding Sfeikis, regarding to the degree of Chumra, which we have to be noyig in Ribis Dvorim. Most of the Achreinim maintain, and that is basically the halacha, that the Issa of Ribis Dvorim is an Issa Darabonon, not an Issa D'Uraisa. The Besoysef in Kuf Samech brings an opinion, that is Dagos Memenios, that there would be no Ribis Dvorim, no Issa, unless there is a very clear link between Hagdomas HaShalom and the loan. It is only if the person that is Makdim Shalom L'Re'ehu links the fact that he's saying hello with the loan that it would be prohibited. But the Bishayisiv makes it very clear that that is not the opinion of other Rishayim, and therefore on Shulchan Aruch he doesn't even mention that shittim. Ribbis Devorim is always prohibited im lo haya ragil lasotken lifneichen. Boy hoya rugal hagdim lo shalom, it is prohibited that he is matim shalom l're'eyu following the law. Now, if we maintain that Ribbis Devorim is also mena Torah, there's a lot of logic in the argument of Agos Memoinios, because even regarding Ribbis Momoin, only Ribbis Ktsutsa would be defined as an Issa D'Oraisa. Ribbis Ktsutsa is when it was stipulated, when the loan was given, that you have to pay back with interest. So it is unreasonable that Ribbis Dvorim Chomor Meribbis Momoin. But if Ribbis Dvorim is an Issa D'Rabbonim, then the opinion of the Ribbis Yosef is more logical. Ribbis Momoin is also, even without stipulation, the same rule would apply to Ribbis Dvorim as well. Now, there is a very well-known dilemma, question, when a person receives a loan, is he entitled to say thank you or not? And it is a very widespread minhag. When you get a loan, you don't say thank you because of the chashash of Ribbis Dvorim. So some people, instead of saying thank you, say Tiskele Mitzvahs. But Rav Shem Zalman points out in the first chelik in Minchas Shleimus Siman Chav Zayin that not only is that not a solution, it's probably more of a problem than a solution, because Tiskele Mitzvahs is a blessing, is a brocha. And Rav Shem Zalman maintained that saying thank you is not a prohibition. Ribbis Dvorim applies only to a blessing, and therefore one could say thank you, but he should not say Tiskele Mitzvahs. How about saying Yasher Koyach? Well, Yasher Koyach is a blessing. Yeshar Koach. Shekodesh Baruch Yiten Lecha Koach. But people don't really say Yasher Koyach with much kavona, unlike Shema Yisrael or Berachas Ha'aveis in Shmoneser. When people say Yasher Koyach, they actually mean to say thank you. They are medactic and perishamilis. But the basic assumption of Rav Shem Zalman that Ribbis Dvorim applies only to a blessing, I don't think that has any basis in the Rishonim, because the Rambam makes it very clear in the above mentioned source that if a person got a loan, he should not say Divrei Kilus. Divrei Kilus means Divrei Shevach. So the Rambam doesn't speak only about Lo Yakdim Lo Sholim, but about Divrei Shevach as well. The Lashon of the Rambam is Mishalova Mechaveroi Velo Haya Ragil Mekodem Lahagdim Lo Shalom Asul Lahagdim Lo Shalom Ve'ein Tzorach Loima Sheyekalso Bedvarim O Yashkim Lefitcho. So from the Rambam we learn that this rule does not apply necessarily to a brocha Lahagdim Lo Shalom Belvad, but Divrei Shevach, making the other person happy, that is considered Ribbis Dvorim, lo kidvarav shereb Shem Zalman. So, some people don't want to say thank you, and they say, Tiskele Mitzvahs, that's definitely a mistake. Other people say this, you know, if I could, I would say thank you, but I can't say thank you because of this Ribbis Dvorim. Seems to be a bit awkward, a bit cumbersome, and complicated. My basic opinion is that a person could say and should say thank you when receiving a loan, and I want to explain why I think so. And well, I've taken some loans in my life, and my personal meaning is always to say thank you to my benefactor. So let me explain why this is my opinion. The Beis Yosef brings the opinion of two Rishonim, Agos Mordechai and Agos Memoinios. Both say that the loiv is entitled to be machzik toive lemalve if the malve is machzik toive leloive as well. And the Beis Yosef says he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand what these Rishonim are talking about. What shayach that the malve should be machzik toive leloive? Why would the lender have to appreciate and say thank you to the borrower. I mean, we understand it's the other way around. So what do they mean when they say that the borrower could be machzik toiva to the lender? The lender is also machzik toiva to the borrower. And besides that point, the Bais Yosef argues that im lahagdim lo shalom asur, kal vachomer shasur lahagzik lo tova. And therefore, the Bais Yosef rejects this ruling, and he does not bring it in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Rama does quote this opinion, and we have to understand what is the understanding of these Rishonim. Chuvis Maharikash, Rabbi Yaakov Castro, was one of the great disciples of the Radbaz in the time of the Bais Yosef, and he was asked this very question: could the borrower, the loiva, be machzik toiva to the lender, to the malva? He brings the Hagos Mordechai, Hagos Mamayos, and he asks the same question as the Bais Yosef does, and he offers or suggests two different interpretations of this opinion. Interpretation number one: you cannot say thank you when receiving the loan, but you could say thank you at payday. When you pay the loan, that is the point in which you could say thank you for giving me this loan. And that is what the Rishonim mean when they say the loiva could say thank you if the malva says thank you as well. The loiva expresses gratitude to the malva for giving him the loan, and the malva says thank you to the loiva for paying the loan on time. And because, you know, not always are loans paid on time, to our dismay. So that is the basic rationale of each of the two parties thanking each other. And the Maharikash explains that the Ribis Mocheres is only also b'momen, but not by Ribis Dvorim. The basic prohibition of Ribis is when the Ribis is paid together with returning the loan. Ribis Mocheres means after you paid the loan, at some later stage you add on additional monies. That is only in Issa D'Rabbanan, and therefore Maharikash explains that Chazal didn't prohibit Ribis Mocheres only when dealing with Ribis Momoin, not when dealing with Ribis Dvorim. The other explanation the Maharikash suggests is one to which I want to offer a short introduction, because it totally coincides with my basic opinion in this halachic issue. In our times, we usually thank other people for anything they do for us. It doesn't have to be something very difficult, very hard, or very major. That is basic civility, basic decency, basic derech eretz. If you're sitting next to a person in a car or on a bus and you ask him to give a pen just to sign your name, you say thank you. You ask a person what time is it, he looks at his watch and tells you what time it is, you say thank you. So thank you is basic midas tovus, basic nimus, basic decency, midas derech eretz. Does the Torah expect us to act odd and queer and grouchy towards our benefactors? You know, my Torah is a very friendly Torah. It's not a strange Torah. And why would we expect it to act with a lack of derech eretz to a person that helped us in any way, whether it's by giving a loan or telling us what time it is, or giving a pen, or brushing off dust from our shoulder, or whatever it is? This is very, very unreasonable. For what is the concept of ribis? How do we define ribis? The basic concept of monetary ribis, that's the ikar issa d'oraisa, the ribis moin. You cannot give back more than you received. That is the concept of ribis. If you got $100 for a loan and you give back $101, that's ribis, because you gave more than you got. So Chazal teach us that the same concept would apply to ribis dvorim, but it is only if you did something unexpected, unusual, beyond the basic norm. So if two people crossed each other every morning in the street, and Reuven was never makdim shalom l'Shimon. Sometimes these halachas seem distant and strange to us, because Our world is no longer a world of very clear and distinct classes. But once society was based on classes, you know, even in the Jewish quarters, there was the Schneider Schule and the Schuster Schule. There was the Schule of the tailors and the Schule of the shoemakers. And so when a person is considered a mechubed, and he was never makdim sholem to another person, and after years the other person gave him a loan, and from that day on he's makdim sholem, that is something significant. The person will come home and tell his wife and kids, you know, Reb Ploini Almoini came over to me in the street and he blessed me, he gave me a brocha. That is considered giving and receiving. So that would be considered the business of all. Besides paying your loan, you gave something more. I gave Hagdamah Shalom. That would be considered giving something. Not money, not physical benefit or pleasure, but it is something, it is significant. But in our society, in our days, saying thank you is not considered as giving something beyond what is basically expected, and therefore, in my opinion, thank you in no way would be considered a devarim. And that is actually very similar to the explanation of Maharikash's second explanation and suggestion explaining the Hagoas Mordechai. So Maharikash says, when you receive the loan, you could say thank you, because everybody does so. It has nothing to do with the money you received. You know, just the goodwill and just taking the time to listen to you, try to help you out in any way. That is enough. Ample reason to say thank you. So the thank you would not be considered derbis. However, Maharikash points out, if you say thank you once again, shaloi b'shas halavoa, that would be considered this form. And I totally agree with this ruling. If the borrower calls the lender a week after receiving a loan, or a day after, he phones him and he tells him, you know, I am so grateful for the loan you gave me yesterday or a day before yesterday. You saved me, you helped me out. That would be considered the visible, because that is beyond basic nimus, basic civility. That is something which is usually unexpected, beyond what is demanded and generally expected. That would be considered Rivis Devon. I would even add on, you could say thank you, but not excessively. If you tell the person, you know, I want to thank you 1,000 times, you don't even know what you did for me, you saved me, if you wouldn't have given me this loan, I would be lost. That would be considered Rivis Devon, because it is clear that the thank you is associated with the loan, and not only with the, you know, with the basic fact that you helped me out in a general way, and therefore that would be considered Rivis Devon. So even though the Beisef rejects the Hagos Mordechai, but the Ramo does bring him, and the Maharikash paskins in accordance with Hagos Mordechai, and therefore I think that this would be the accepted ruling. Reb Shlomo Zalman, as I mentioned in the first Chelek Simachov Zion, says that there's no problem in saying thank you. However, Chelek Beis, Simen Samaches, Oz Beis, Reb Shlomo Zalman retracts and regrets his original psak. Why? Because in Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Bana Tanya paskins explicitly that you cannot say thank you. The Bana Tanya broadens the scope of this halacha. He quotes part of the Rambam's Lashon, and he adds on, Asu lahagdim lo shalom, o lishabcho, u lekalso, o lehodot lo. So Reb Shlomo Zalman, with his great anova and his great tzitzis, regrets, and he writes that, obviously I made a mistake, and one should not say thank you. However, based on what I just explained before, to me it seems so poshut that one could say thank you, and therefore I would argue that we have to interpret the Shulchan Aruch Harav to a case in which a person says thank you, not when he receives the loan, but maybe at some later stage. The Shulchan Aruch Rav brings it together with Asur Lo Hagdim Lo Shalom. He's not Magdim Shalom when he gets the loan, but tomorrow, a day after tomorrow, next week, next month, at any other stage. And therefore, I would argue that is the way we have to explain the Shulchan Aruch Rav. He's not dealing with a case in which the person says thank you while receiving the loan, but rather at some different and other stage, later stage, and that would be considered that it is divine. It is also feasible, even though we could never say that with any degree of certainty, but one might argue, you know, norms, social norms, change, develop, evolve. So maybe what is so simple to us that saying thank you doesn't mean any special expression, and it is not considered by people as receiving something. It is only basic nimus and derech eretz. Maybe in social norms hundreds of years ago were different, and maybe people didn't express gratitude and thanks for everything. So sometimes changing norms, different attitudes, and menhagim affect halacha. So maybe that is the reason that the Shulchan Aruch Rav says one cannot say thank you, but to me it seems very clear and very logical, Messiah, that there should be no issur in thanking, as I have explained before. An additional halacha, me'inyan le'inyan ba'ose hu'inyan, that we find in Shulchan Aruch is ribis of toivis hanoah. It is beyond the ribis dvorim, but it is not mamish similar to ribis momoin. I am not giving kesef or shove kesef. No money or things that are worth money, but doing a favor. Is the loiva entitled to do a favor to the malva? Is the malva entitled to stipulate, I'm giving you this loan on the condition that you do something for me? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Simakuf Samach, Sif Chov Gimel. Hamalva Moes al Menashe Kol Meloche Shetov Ele Yodo Yetenota Lamalva Laasota Asur. Shach Sif Kotn Lamed Zayin explains this halacha. The lender gives a loan to the borrower on the condition, you know, I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter, I'm a handyman. If you have any work that you have to do in your house, then please call me. Give me the work before you call others. You know, that's my parnosa. That is prohibited. That, once again, would be considered ribis, because you're getting back more than you gave. You gave $100, you're getting back $100, but you're also getting additional benefit. You're going to get work for your parnosa. Therefore, that would be prohibited. And the Ramo goes on and says, even if there was no stipulation, that im lo haya ragil lasot ken lefnechen, asur. Just like Rebbe's Dvorim, im lo haya ragil hagdim lo shalom, asur lo lahagdim lo shalom. We find a similar halacha in Siman Kuf Ayin Zayin Sif Yud Gimel in Mechaber, and this halacha is brought Kuf Samech Vov Sif Gimel in Ramo. I am quoting the Loshon of the Mechaber. Hamalva moes le balabayis vegam choyze ha'alochem b'no shel balabayis u'balabayis noten lo hotza'a asur. This aloch is formulated in the Ramo slightly different. Mi shekibel moes b'halvo ma'achad vegam lo medim b'no v'hitna imo shiyeten lo mishum ze ha'hotza'a afer pi she'an osen lo ha'hotza'a b'lo halva mishum shelamadim b'no afer hochi asur b'havalei kehalveini v'dor b'chatzeri. So if a person learns with another person's son, and his expenses were not paid, and he gives a halavoa, a loan, to the father of the boy, and he says, I'm going to give you a loan on the condition that you pay me, that is a prohibition. Even though this is money he has to pay anyway, but you cannot stipulate and link that money with the fact that you have given a loan. So these are two sources in Shulchan Aruch in which we see that ribis refers not only to money, also to words, and not only to words, any other toivas hanoah. Toivas hanoah is a general concept that we find in many areas in halacha, meaning any benefit, not necessarily monetary benefits, because there are some things that really people don't pay for, they don't cost money, but nevertheless people see it as a benefit and as something which is to be sought after and something which is helpful, and therefore that would be considered an Isser of Ribbis. Sometimes people even aren't aware of various shaylos that could be. The other day a person asked me an interesting shayla. A guy was building a house or refurbishing his house, and he asked for a loan, and he was granted a very generous loan. So the borrower told the lender, you know, I have a swimming pool in my yard. Whenever you want to have a swim, please give me a call and I'll be happy to let you use my pool. And he asked me, could you use that pool? And I said, no, you cannot, because that is quite obviously this. You've known this person for years. There was a pool in his backyard and he never offered you to use his pool. So it was very clear that the reason he's offering you to use the pool is because you gave him a loan. And out of gratitude and appreciation, he feels that it is most appropriate to do something for you just to express his feelings. But by halachic definition, that would be considered ribis. That's a toivas hanoah, a very clear one. And therefore, as long as the loan isn't paid, you shouldn't take him up on his offer and you should not use that pool. That was my response, which seems very clear to me. So today we have dealt with one of the mitzvahs of the weekly parsha, a halacha which I felt it is important to elaborate on, because these halachas are quite common and sometimes people aren't even aware what might be a shaila. Last week in Parsha Shoftim we gave a unique perish on the pasuk of Shoftim, and I stressed that it was an Elul Dikeperish. And I want to do the same with Kiseitzel Emelchamo Al Oivero. So the basic understanding of this pasuk, we're dealing with war, actual war, Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes Vishus, waging war with the enemies of Israel. But Sifra Musar and Sifra Hasidus also interpret this pasuk, and this interpretation has a source in Midrash Chazal. This pasuk is also referring to Melchemes HaYetzer, what the Choyves Halvavos calls the Great War. So every people, every nation, every country has its Great War. You know, the Russians call World War II the Great Patriotic War. The Great War that we know is Melchemes HaYetzer. And the Choyves Halvavos tells the Moshel of a great warrior, a great general, that came home from the battlefield, glorious, acclaimed, very proud of his achievements, and he met a chosid, and the chosid told him, you think you're coming back from a great war, you're coming back from a minor war, and the big war is still before you, and he was referring to Melchemes HaYetzer. So why is this war the great one, the big one? By nature of wars, as history teaches us, most of the time somebody comes out on top and the other on bottom. The victor and the vanquished. One army is victorious and the other one is defeated, humiliated. And in our lifetime we've known various wars, you know, World War I, World War II, where major battles took taking 4 or 5 years. We knew the Six-Day War in Israel, which took 6 days. The miraculous Six-Day War. But sooner or later, most wars have a clear outcome. Regarding Melchemes HaYetzer, Chazal teach us, Al tamin ba'atzmacho ad yoy moyscho. Yoichanin kohen godol shemesh bekuni gedoy l'shmoinim shono, ulebesoif nasit tzedoiki. You can never know whether you won or lost. And sometimes a person develops a feeling He has vanquished his Yetzer, and he's a big tzaddik, and he is victorious. And little is he aware that the Yetzer is resourceful, is patient, and al tamin ba'atzmacho ad yomo yischol. This is the great battle. But some people have come to agreement with the Yetzer Hara long ago. Some people have a ceasefire. Others even have a peace pact. You know, I don't shepherd you, don't shepherd me. You know, we don't fight our Yetzer. Why fight? But without fighting, you can never win. Everybody remembers the Gemara and Brachas Daf Hei. Chazal teach us what are the most potent tools in Melchemes HaYetzer. Yasek b'Torah. Learn Torah. Nitzchoy mutav, loy nitzchoy yikro kriya shema. If Torah wasn't enough, then say Krishmi, yakabal al malcha shemayim. Loy nitzchoy yaskala yoyim amisa. Remember the day of death. And if that doesn't help, Chazal don't give us another formula. Obviously, Torah, Krishma, Yoyim Amisa, they must help. There's no such thing, loy nitzchoy, after the big three. However, as we know from our experience in life, we know some people that learn Torah all day. You know, Koilo guys that learn from the morning till late in the evening. They also say Kriya Shema. And we actually are machmer by Kriya Shema far more than the Torah demanded. By halachic definition, a person has to say Kriya Shema b'shoch v'chof k'mecho twice a day, morning and evening. However, our meaning is to say Kriya Shema four times a day. First time before Pesukah de Zimra, when we start off Tfilah Shachas, and then we say Kriya Shema v'berchu yisrael b'seder atfilah. We say Kriya Shema shel Arvis when we daven Maariv, and then once again Kriya Shema shel Amito. So many people learn Torah all day. They say Kriya Shema four times a day. Some of them always remember Yom HaMisa. Well, I'm a Yerushalmi, I live in Yerushalayim, and in this holy city, you can never forget Yom HaMisa because you have the cars all day and all night with the loudspeakers announcing Levayas, so you cannot even forget about Yom HaMisa. So we would expect every Kollel guy in Yerushalayim to be a Tzadik Yisraelim, but that is not actually the way things are. So all these people are Oisik B'Torah, Kriya Shema, Yoyim HaMisa. Why aren't they all, you know, Tzaddikim like Yosef HaTzaddik? The answer is a very simple one. We all remember Yasik B'Torah, Yikur Kriya Shema, Yaskala Yoyim HaMisa. But very few of us remember the beginning and the exact formulation of this Mamah Chazal. Le'olam Yargiz Odom Yetzer HaTov Al Yetzer HaRo. And Rashi is Mefarash, Yase Imo Milchama. The tools of war, the instruments of war, the ammunition, those are Torah, Kriya Shema, Yom HaMisa. Those are the tanks, the warplanes, the fighters, the bombers, the missiles, the cannons of war. But you can have the most sophisticated weapons, but if you don't use them and you don't fight, you cannot expect to win. No army was ever victorious without putting up a fight, without waging war. So you could learn Torah, say Kriya Shema Yaskala Yom HaMisa. Those are guaranteed to help, but only if you fight your Yetzer. Le'olam yagez odem yetzer tov al yetzer haro. Yase imo milchama. If you're complacent, if you're happy with the way things are, you're not even aware that you have to fight your yetzer, then you cannot be victorious without waging war. So the most important thing, always, and especially in Elul, is the awareness that life is a mission and life is a struggle. In life, we have to overcome. We have to overcome our Yetzer, we have to overcome ourselves, our tendencies, our taivus, our lust. This is something we have to overcome. And that is what the life of a Jew is all about. Melchemes HaYetzer. Perfecting ourselves, our midas, our Yira Shemayim, our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the struggle, that is the battle we have to wage. And Gedolei HaSidus go on to say, Ki seitzei lemelchamu aleivecho, muftach lecho onasonei Hashem elokecho biyodecho. You just have to fight him. And if you will fight him with all your might, Habolatayr Misayin Loy, HaKadosh Baruch will be on your side. And HaKadosh Baruch was always on the side of the victor. You just have to put up a fight. You just have to try and do your best. Kiseitzel Malchom Alavecho, Anasonoi Hashem Elokecho Biyodecho. And this is what Erel is all about. You know, just waking up from our slumber. As the Rambam says in Hilchis Tshuva, Tkiya Shoifa Barash Hashanah Gzeres HaKosuv, Remez Yeshbo, Uru Yeshenem Ishenaschem, V'Nerdom HaMakitzu Metadam Aschem, Zichru Bereichem, Chipsu B'Masechem, V'Chizu B'Tshuva. Just wake up from your slumber, wake up from your sleep. That is what the Shoifa calls us to do. So let us take advantage of this Chodesh Elul, in which we are in the midst. Awaken from our slumber. Lilbosh madei krav, put on our uniforms. Take up arms and fight the Yetzer Hara. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maftiach. Onasonoi Hashem Elokecho biyodecho. We should all have a wonderful Elul. And we should all be zeicha together to aksiva v'chasima toiv v'besifon shel tzadikim gemurim. And this coming year should be a year of naches, of simcha, of good health, a year of geula v'yeshua b'mheira v'yomenu. Amen.